Hey guys, welcome to the 330 Sports Show. Today is Tuesday, March 29th, 2022. Joe, tomorrow is 330 day. How about that? So 330 Sports, unfortunately, we will not have a show tomorrow, but I may have a giveaway for you guys. So make sure you are following my page and Youngstown Studios page at 330 Sports Show on social media and at Youngstown Studio. Look on there for the potential giveaway that we're going to have. We are going to talk about the Cleveland Browns, Deshaun Watson, Baker Mayfield, the Cavs, the Final Four. And before we get into all of that, there was, a little bit of news on, maybe you heard about it. Maybe. Now, I did not see this on live television. I don't know if you did, Joe. But sometimes I will, watch the Oscars from, here and there. It's not something I watch regularly, but every now and then I'll check it out. There's, a lot of times there's, a category I'm interested in, or, best movie or best actor or whatever like that, or, musical performances. But, I go to bed Sunday night, don't know anything about what happened, wake up, Twitter, Facebook, the Today Show, everything was talking about Will Smith and Chris Rock, literally the slap heard around the world. So, Joe, I got to ask you, I'm sure you've seen this by now.
Yes.
Okay. I think I've rewatched. I rewatched it yesterday. Now, today I haven't seen anything. I haven't really, followed up on it today. But yesterday, because we don't do our shows on Monday, I was just gathering information, just watching it like from every different angle. Now, apparently the American feed cut the volume, dropped it. I think they call it like dump the volume is what they call it in the technical terms. But the Australian feed and the Japanese feed and like different feeds from around the country got it all. Like those people watched it live. So I got to ask you, what were your initial thoughts on the whole Will Smith, Chris Rock incident?
So I'm a conspiracy theorist, and I know the whole thing.
I knew you were going down this path.
For sure. You set me up.
Knew you were going down this path.
And so that the whole awards presentation, like nobody watches that shit.
Yeah.
So what they did was before the deal, they met with the WWE and they were like, how can we spice this shit up? Right.
Sure.
And so they're like, all right, got you. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to hit him with chairs. And they're like, nah, we can't do chairs. Like, and like, hey, let's get Will Smith just to slap someone open handed on stage. They're like, we're going to go with that one. So there's my feeling.
Okay. So you think it was for a potential ratings boost?
For sure.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, my counter to that.
All right.
Now, if you're like me and you weren't watching it live, is it for ratings for the next day or for ratings for that movie?
There was nothing going to go viral from that award ceremony.
Sure.
So they had to put something viral like. So it's either going to be a boob, right? Or it's going to be a slap. And they went with slap this time.
Okay. Okay. All right. Now, I think it was, I'm on the opposite side of the coin. I think it was totally legit, totally real. Now, Chris Rock as a stand-up comedian, and you just had a stand-up show last week where you had multiple comedians. So, the value of live entertainment. Now, I'm sure a lot of those jokes were scripted and whatnot, but it looked to me, Chris Rock was just going through and like Javier Bardem, I think there was a joke before about him and his wife. And then he kind of is just scanning the crowd and sees Jada Pinkett Smith. And obviously I had no idea about the alopecia, which she had, which apparently is common in African-American women where it causes them to lose their hair. I had no idea that was even a thing with her. I thought it was just maybe a choice to buzz her hair. So he calls her out like, and Demi Moore was in G.I. Jane, the first one, and she had her shaved head. And so he calls her out for that. Didn't it look like Will Smith kind of laughed at the joke?
For sure. He did.
So I think it was like he looked and you could see her eyes. She gave the immediate eye roll and like, like side, and then it goes back to Chris Rock, and then about 5 seconds later you hear him go, oh, you know, like here he comes. And then I mean, out of nowhere, boom, slapped right in the face. And I mean, he hit him pretty good for a slap, you know, like it almost looked like a punch. But then if you see the freeze frame, can you throw that up real quick? It almost looks like that was like a stunt gig or a karate move based on the way he's like throwing, you know, holding his hands. But Chris Rock had his hands behind his back. Like he just, I got to give Chris Rock a shitload of credit. He took it like a man. And, you know, he kind of was struggling over his words a little bit after that, but
he just got pummeled.
But but to me though, that's why I'm thinking it was like, maybe if it was a conspiracy theory that was in Will Smith's camp, they forgot to tell Chris Rock about it because he hadn't.
Did anybody see if Will Smith had like an earpiece where a producer was telling him what to do? I need to see that.
But then how about when he goes back to his seat and like in the broadcast, he's like, keep my wife's name out of your mother effing mouth. Yep. And like, I mean, he said it twice. And the second time I was like, holy shit, it's on, you know, like, and that I was like, I mean, this guy should be up for best actor. Oh wait, he was. Nice. And then he won 20 there minutes later. So I don't know.
It sounds like you're coming over to my side.
I'm still,
you're almost there.
Now let me ask you this.
Yeah.
As you know, a husband, mm-hmm. As someone, let's just say you were in Will Smith's spot. Somebody makes a joke about your wife. What's your response to that?
I punch people. Like I don't have a break.
Now at the Oscars.
Probably I'd be like, we're out of here.
You wait till the after party.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now what I have seen is a lot of comedians, stand-up comedians in particular, have been very vehemently outspoken in favor of Chris Rock and against Will Smith, because I mean, there's a time and place for everything. Right. And you don't handle your business like that. Like, you know, Will Smith crossed the line. It was inappropriate, uncalled for. Now, I have seen the other side where people are like, I'm glad there's still chivalry out there and blah, blah, blah. Now, my counterpoint to that, do you know anything about the Smith's marriage situation? It is a very open book.
Is that what you're calling a dumpster fire these days?
Well, apparently, you know, I don't know when this started, but it was okay for other dudes to be with Jada Smith, but not another dude to make fun of her. So that's just what I'll say on that.
And let me throw this at you. So let's just say you're just at an award show as a spectator,
mm-hmm.
and you disagree with the guy that's on stage.
Yeah.
Are they going to just tolerate you walking on stage and just?
Oh no! Mean just me
just
as a normal
Justin
dude
goes on stage? Okay. You just pissed me off.
Oh,
Chris
I'd get
Rock,
you'd get tackled
in 2 seconds.
One, you get tackled. Like you're getting, the security would be all over like a normal person. This is Will Smith. Like I will say this. I have loved Will Smith as an actor for many years, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute here. We'll spend about 5 minutes on some of his stuff he's done, but. You know, your average person is getting tackled. They are getting in shackles and they are getting hauled off to jail. Whereas he, you know, I know the Academy is like looking into like, should we take his award away? That, first of all, that's stupid, you know, like whatever. And then second of all, you know, like it's after the fact, you know, maybe you suspend him and say you can't come next year and that's like your punishment or whatever. Chris Rock's not going to press any charges. No. Apparently, like Diddy, or I don't know what he's called anymore, Puff Daddy, Diddy, P Diddy, whatever, you know, like apparently he said all was well after in the after party, and Will Smith put out a public statement, and so did Jada Pinkett Smith. And so I have not heard yet from Chris Rock, but I think
he apologized. He put one out there too.
Did he?
Actual apology.
Did he? I have not seen that one yet, but I really think all parties were probably a little bit in the wrong, but Will Smith, I think, crossed the line literally, like should not have crossed that stage line. So Chris Rock, not a really an appropriate joke, but a comedian. I don't know if he knew about her condition or not. Will Smith definitely crossed the line and you know, so.
Well, just remember, ladies and gentlemen, we'd never even be talking about this award show had it not been for that moment. So there.
Amen. So you're right. It worked for the ratings, but I mean, 365 days from now or whenever, actually, usually it's in February. So this just added to our March Madness.
Next year, something else happens, then you know it came to the boardroom. Like, hey, you know what? That Chris Rock thing worked really well. What are we going to do this year?
Yeah.
And it's going to be boobies. I'm telling you, boobies next.
But they got that 5-second delay where they could just drop it. So, all right. So one more thing.
Yeah, please, one more jab at Will Smith. So do you remember that movie where I think the movie started out, he's a superhero of some kind, but he was rock bottom. And
Hancock.
Like, yes, that's who he reminded me of last night. He was hit the bottom of Hancock.
It does seem like he's really, something's going on because something snapped there. So speaking of Hancock and speaking of certain Will Smith movies, that brings me to my top five Tuesday. So our top five Tuesday list today is going to be a duo top five Tuesday. We're going to start with top five Will Smith characters he's played in and top five Chris Rock characters he's played either in movies or TV shows. So let's start with Will Smith. Joe, do you have a favorite Chris Rock moment or let's actually start with Will Smith. Do you have a top five Will Smith character or show or anything?
Men in Black. I mean, I did watch Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but he wasn't great in it. I think he was much better than Men in Black.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to start with my list and I'm just going to go through. You guys may agree. You may disagree. So my first one, my number five is Hitch. So Alex Hitchens, he's like the date doctor to set up, you know, like socialites around New York and just kind of a cool movie. So number five is Alex Hitchens for Will Smith characters, in my opinion. Number four is Chris Gardner in The Pursuit of Happiness. Now, if you have ever seen this movie, it will make you cry because, you know, we could say a lot of things about Will Smith, but damn, that dude's a good actor. And this is one of the best movies. It will literally give you goosebumps for what he has to go through, the adversity he has to go through with his son, who I believe is his actual son in real life in this movie. Number three, when it pops up, boom, is Dr. Robert Neville in I Am Legend. If you have seen that movie, another great, great movie based on a book in like the 1950s, but I Am Legend, phenomenal movie, great character. Check that movie out if you have not seen it. Apparently, I've heard there's a prequel to that movie that will be out in the next, you know, few years. Number two on my list is Stephen Hiller from Independence Day. He's the Air Force pilot, you know, kind of like, and he also slaps an alien in this movie right in the face. Oh, so he got his practice a little bit early. And
he has a slap coach on payroll.
That's true. That's true. And protecting America while he's doing it. And for me, the number one, like, this is, you and I will probably disagree here because you thought he was okay in Fresh Prince. I thought he was phenomenal. And I think that's where he kind of got his start. So to me, my friends and I will still like send each other memes and stuff of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I can't tell you like 10 episodes, but I can remember certain moments from that show that really I can still quote today. So a couple other honorable mentions that I threw in there were some that, you know, Joe, I know you had mentioned Men in Black. So I had, he played Muhammad Ali. Obviously, this is a sports show. That was a great character. Hancock was in there. Agent J was his name in Men in Black. He was the genie in the recent Aladdin movie. Mike Lowry in Bad Boys, which is a pretty good one. And then if you like the Suicide Squad movies, Deadshot was his character on there when he was just like literally 100% accurate.
I want to re-answer. Like, my favorite Will Smith movie now is 7 Pounds.
Have you ever seen that? It's like 7 grams or something, isn't it? Or is it 7 pounds?
Yeah, he got a car wreck. It was a jellyfish one.
Do you remember that? Oh, no. I'm thinking of something else. You have to look that up. Okay. Yeah. 7 pounds. Okay. So let's see. What's 7 Pounds is a 2008 American drama film directed by blah, blah, blah. He's changed lives of 7 people. Yeah, okay.
So not to spoiler it, obviously, yeah. But it's a 20-year-old movie.
It's all right.
So he gets in a car accident.
And, okay.
And there are 7 people that are ill affected by it. And it's devastating to him. He thinks about the accident. And
how, sure.
So he sets out to change 7 lives and they give it forward in that way. It's really a cool premise.
Interesting. All right.
And I won't give the end away.
No, that's all right. Seven Pounds. Okay. So another recommendation right there for another Will Smith movie. And I'm sure he's will be trending for probably the rest of this month, which is kind of, you know, coming up on its end, but he's definitely going to be trending for a little while. All right. So let's switch to the slappy or the, is that the correct term?
Sure.
Was he the slappy? Yeah, he wasn't the slapper. He was the slappy. So let's go to Chris Rock. You know, Chris Rock doesn't have quite as many notable movie and TV show roles as Will Smith, obviously. Will Smith's probably the most well-known actor in Hollywood, you know, at least in the top few. But first one I started out was a cartoon character. I think if you have kids or, you know, anybody that watched this, you probably have at least heard of Madagascar. Chris Rock has that really scratchy kind of like recognizable no doubt voice. He plays the character of Marty, the zebra in Madagascar. I also am going to just put my honorable mention right out there for Chris Rock right off the bat, this being a sports show as well. He used to do Nike commercials for Penny Hardaway, and he was Little Penny. He was this little doll that was about 8 inches tall, and he did the voice for Little Penny on these Nike commercials, and I literally just laugh my ass off because those commercials are still really, really, really funny if you watch them now. And I see, I forgot iRobot, you know, so my apologies on that. That movie actually is pretty decent. So, my apologies, on that, on iRobot. Now let's go to number 4 for Chris Rock. In these, again, these are in my very humble opinion. If you've ever seen The Longest Yard, a great football movie, Adam Sandler's in it, Burt Reynolds is in it, a bunch of NFL and wrestlers and stuff like that. He plays, I think his name is straight up Caretaker. So that was obviously a remake from, I think, a 70s movie, but really, really good. Nelly's in it. You know, like I said, Adam Sandler, a bunch of great, great casts in that movie. So that's my number 4 for Chris Rock. Let's go to number 3. Number 3, I like how it's waiting because it's like a little bit of drama. Yeah. Number 3 is going to be Kurt McKenzie in Grown Ups. Now, the Grown Ups series is a movie, I think they're a little bit overrated, but the whole crew on Grown Ups and Grown Ups 2, it's a great cast and a ton of funny people. Again, his like whole crew was Sandler and Spade, Kevin James. Like that's a great crew. So Kurt McKenzie is the character he plays on that movie. So let's go to number 2. Once it loads, dramatic. Here it comes. It's coming. Number 2 is from SNL. He plays the character Nadex. And exactly. Did you remember that character? Yeah. Now, like I have not seen that show in forever, but I was like Googling. I was like, I was trying to remember because Will Smith's really easy. Like you can pick out 10, 12 different things he's done, but Chris Rock, I really had to like look. And then when I saw that character, like that took me back like 20 years and, you know, being like a 15-year-old kid, 12-year-old kid, it was probably like beyond my like knowledge of, you know, what was going on, you know, back even when this character was supposed to be portrayed, but he did a lot of good stuff. And he was on that crew with Sandler, Chris Farley, Spade, all that crew. So it was so, so, so good. And then finally, let's go to my number 1. This is, if you like this movie, you love this movie. If you don't like this movie, you don't like this movie, but he plays the character Maze Gilliam in Head of State. He actually becomes the president of the United States in this movie. It's so funny. Mid 2000s era movie and just really, really good. So those are my Chris Rock movies. Now, you know, somebody already put out there, Lindell already put out there, No I, Robot. If I forgot anything with Chris Rock or Will Smith that you think deserves to be on that list, let us know.
And both Lindell and I think that Fresh Prince gets marked right off of your list.
No?
Deserve to be number one.
Oh, well, I'm telling you what, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, I think it was just like the time I grew up and the impact it had on me. Obviously, I'm a white kid from the suburbs, you know, but, you know, so I can't really relate to that. But the comedy on there, and then so many of those people that were on that show became like big time actors.
You, and I couldn't think of the black kid's name.
Carlton?
Yeah.
Oh, no, no. Much cooler than Carlton. I might have been a combination of Carlton and Will together. Okay. Like, not quite as cool as Will, but not quite as nerdy and OCD as Carlton. I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. So I can live with that. I can live with that. All right. Let's switch to sports. And before we get into Cleveland Brown stuff, I do want to just briefly touch on the NCAA basketball tournament, March Madness. First thing I want to say is congratulations to the St. Peter's Peacocks, who about 3 weeks ago, I had no idea who the hell St. Peter's was. But first of all, their mascot's a peacock. They're from Jersey City, New Jersey. Their arena is called Run Baby Run. I think they have like 3,000 kids in their entire university. So congrats to them. They took down Kentucky. They took down Murray State, and they took down Purdue, and then eventually falling to North Carolina, who is now in the Final Four. So what a run. And this is what March Madness is all about. You would never know a team like St. Peter's before, but they take down the giant and the Cinderella story. And that's kind of what it's all about.
Exactly.
Yep. That's what it's all about. And Gonzaga used to be that underdog story, and now it's like an upset when they lose and they just, you know, got knocked out. And
but
it's like that's
that
a big deal.
Is that you can't recruit so far that you put certain teams that they can't compete.
Right.
Literally anybody who's in the tournament can rise to the occasion.
And the cool thing with basketball is the 3-point line is the great equalizer. And if you have one or two guys that are on, that can take you far. If you play good team defense, if you have one or two guys that can hit some outside shots and make some stuff happen, that can really, really take you far in a tournament in basketball. So,
but I really do like from a betting standpoint.
Yeah.
These really long on big spreads. Like I bet $100 on YSU the other night. They were given 19 points.
Oh yeah.
So it's really tough to shut out.
No-brainer. Yeah, no doubt. I think they might have played like Fresno State. Yeah. Yeah. So, and I think they covered.
They did.
So,
they lost by 12. Mm-hmm. 19.
Exactly. Yeah. They went all the way out to California to win you $100. but a good season to touch on that from Joe on YSU and Coach Calhoun.
I didn't ruin their slides.
No. I want them, you know, next year, and it was still tough this year. We still had some COVID regulations and stuff, but we're going to get Coach Barnes and Coach Calhoun either in set, or we're going down to Beagley and we're going to do some live stuff with them and their squad next year. But switching to the Final Four, we do have a blue blood Final Four. We have Duke, North Carolina. Duke and North Carolina have never played each other in the NCAA tournament. Now they're going to take on each other in the Final Four. First year head coach for North Carolina, Hubert Davis. And obviously we know Coach K in his kind of final hurrah here makes it to the Final Four. So Duke, North Carolina, this is literally, I'm going to use the lame cliche, throw out the records. It doesn't matter, throw out the seeding. It's going to be an awesome, awesome game. Now these games are all going to be in New Orleans. And then the other two blue bloods we got down there, Villanova and Kansas, and should be a phenomenal, phenomenal scene down in New Orleans. So I am not going to make any picks because my bracket was awful after day one. So I'm not throwing out any picks. I just hope for some good games. You know, I'm going to be that person that holds up the sign. I just hope both teams have fun. So
when you were doing your little cliche, I thought you were going to do a cotton from Dodgeball. Pulling out all the stops now.
That's a bold move, Cotton. Let's see how it pays off. So, hey, let me ask you this, because I kind of knew what it was, but then I had to like Google it to find out like the exact meaning. Do you know what blue bloods or where it comes from? Do you know what that means? Like where it comes from? It's not a sport. It wasn't a sports term originally, but blue bloods kind of is like, you know, the best of the best in that sport. So, you know, you're talking the New York Yankees in baseball. You're talking in football. You're talking college football. You're talking Ohio State, Alabama, you know, probably Clemson, probably Notre Dame, you know, teams like that. In, you know, in NCAA basketball, you're talking Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, UCLA, you know, the teams that like are always usually the cream of the crop. But I looked it up because I was just curious, because I wanted to like make sure I was, you know, phrasing it correctly. But apparently blue bloods back in the day used to be like a royal bloodline. So it was like you were of royalty or noble birth, and then you were considered a blue blood. So little knowledge there, you know, I thought I'd share. You know, you watch this for the sports, but you come and you leave with a little nugget of knowledge. So, you know, that's what we try to do around here for you.
I will tell you, this Final Four though is reminiscent to a lot of other Final Fours, like those four teams.
Oh yeah.
You say, here's the Final Four, tell me what year it is. Mm-hmm. You struggle to find out.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah, especially if you took off the seating and you know, and I will say, I have not watched much of the women's tournament. But I did watch the end of the UConn-NC State game last night. Maybe the game of the year. I would put North Carolina and Baylor's game up there. And then NC State and UConn last night had a great game. So the women's Final Four is now set. It's going to be South Carolina and Louisville and Stanford and UConn. Traditional powers there. But, you know, should be a great, great Final Four in both the men's and women's side of things. So what are we going to go to next? What will the slide be next? Oh, man. So anyway, before we get into the next thing, did you fill out a bracket this year? You did not? I will say I filled out three. And normally I try to stick to one, but, you know, people are you know, like we did one for a nonprofit. We did one for Project MKC. We did one for my friend. We did another one with like a group of our friends. So I'm curious out there how many people fill out one bracket or more than one bracket, you know? So I'm always curious about that. And do you think it's okay to fill out more than one bracket? Yeah. Now,
I think you should have a war room with all of your brackets placed into the walls. And then as it's going down, the scores are coming in.
Yeah. Next year, I think we should do some sort of, you know, we could do it as a fundraiser where we, you know, put a bracket, we get a bunch of brackets together and like the winner gets half and half goes to a charity. So that might be something we'll do next year. Okay. All right. Very good. All right. I want to put this out there. It's time for the Cleveland Browns. It's time for the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, as you can see on the slide, Baker Mayfield is not happy. And the front office in Cleveland and mostly the PR department in Cleveland was not happy. But Deshaun Watson is now a Cleveland Brown. So we will get into, if you would like, we can go as deep as you want, or we can, you know, finesse around the situation. So
get it off your chest. I think you all want to get it off your chest.
Let me just say this up front. Now, I know there's a lot of upset people out there, and I think that's okay. You know, I know there's a lot of upset people with the Browns, like that are Browns fans that are saying, I no longer want to support the team. I think there's a lot of Baker Mayfield fans that are out there that are saying, you know, like, you know, Baker got a raw deal. Okay, that's fine. I don't agree with that. And I think there's a lot of people that are happy with this move because they think it makes the Browns a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And I think that's okay. So the way I'm going to preface this is I will just say, I am not here to tell anyone how to feel. Does that make sense? I think it's okay to feel however you want to feel on this situation. If that might be taking the easy road, but I think there's a lot of different ways of thinking. And this is like an onion. It is a very, very complicated situation with the Browns, with Deshaun Watson, with the NFL, with the women involved. So that's where I'm going to start off with this. What are your thoughts?
Man, we are wading into this sucker.
Oh, yeah.
I had a little change of heart since the last time we talked.
Okay.
Like my original feeling was I don't feel that we ever got to really see Baker with a good line and some good tools. He was hurt the entire year. And if you're going to use that
this past season.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. And so I wanted to see one season. He had one more contract year left. Give him like a couple tools, no distractions, and see what he really had. I mean, one way, if he does it, we get off from our contract. If he doesn't, we give him, you know, good statistics and we can trade him off for something good, whatever. So, but the reason I've had my change of heart is because once Deshaun comes into the picture and then Baker is a for sure, you know, offload at this point, you watch players that I thought were some of the problems start getting interested in coming back. So that just tells me that maybe Baker was the problem this whole time.
Yeah. And I think the Browns leaked a story to say they wanted an adult at quarterback.
Right.
And that's not just something you say.
Right.
You know, that shows there's some immaturity. That shows there's a lot of trust issues. And now a lot of people are going to push back with that and say, well, you're going to bring an adult at quarterback with allegations of sexual misconduct and this and that, like, is that really an adult? So let's keep the Deshaun thing over here and let's just strictly focus on the Baker thing right now. So I am with you on the Baker thing. I think I was kind of a Baker defender for a while. I'm not one of the Baker bros. I'm not that, but if he's the quarterback for the Browns, I'm going to support him and I'm going to root for him. It's kind of like, you know, a cliche of, well, I didn't vote for that president, but I'm going to support him, you know, kind of that thing.
Right.
But if he is the, whoever the quarterback is, I was a Cleveland Browns fan before Baker Mayfield. I will be a Cleveland Browns fan after Baker Mayfield. I was a Cleveland Browns fan before Deshaun Watson. I will be a Cleveland Browns fan after Deshaun Watson. Now, do you have to like necessarily love the players as a person that you root for? Not necessarily. Sometimes that's what gives people good vibes with people, you know, like Baker was kind of like that gritty underdog, but then again, he was the first pick overall in the draft too. But you know, it's like he does all these progressive commercials and, you know, he's out in the community and people seem to like him. So I get it from that perspective why, but from a football perspective, you can't argue that Deshaun Watson is not a serious upgrade over Baker Mayfield. Sure. So,
And the portion with the legal troubles and the accusations, see, to me, like an accusation is something that you pay attention to, but anybody can levy an accusation.
Sure.
At you. So especially if he was putting himself in compromising positions that allowed that, then that's just stupidity. And he kind of has earned the negative that goes along with that.
Yes.
But if you can't get a conviction or you're not going to have from the legal standpoint, you can't prove anything. I got to go with it's a concern. It's a red flag to me, but you can't hold a guy responsible for being accused of stuff.
Now, right. Right. Now, this has gone to a grand jury twice now, and both times they, you know, threw it out. Now, that doesn't mean... Now, there's a lot of, I want to say, moral posturing out there on social media where people will say they're taking a side when I don't necessarily... We'll see how you are in September.
Right.
Like, don't tell me you're not a Browns fan now and then root for that guy in September. And again, I'm not here to tell you how to feel. That's your opinion. But I think a lot of people are going to tell on themselves. Does that make sense?
Sure.
In the future or in the past for what they've done? And I do not agree with, you know, Deshaun Watson's maybe poor decision making. Yeah. Like you said, did he put himself in bad positions? It sounds like it.
Yeah.
But you and I don't know the story.
Right.
99% of Browns fans out there don't know the story. It sounds like the Browns did their due diligence, you know, hiring independent security, talking to the FBI, talking to the Houston police, and you can't invest that much money in someone, trade away three first round draft picks if you don't feel like he's guilty.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you think he's going to be found guilty in court, then I don't think you can make that trade. Right. Now,
But you know, in the NFL though, I mean, there's a bunch of high paid personalities, Ben Roethlisberger, Kareem Hunt, Ray Lewis, like all of those had something in there that you could have said, not provable, but I'm looking at you through those eyes, but they still were able to flourish in the NFL
yeah.
until you're proven guilty for it.
The newest highest paid wide receiver in the NFL, Tyreek Hill, who exactly. just got traded from Kansas City to Miami. He has a very checkered past, you know? And my question is to those people that are, you know, anti, you know, like I'm done with the Cleveland Browns. You know, if you're older, did you root for Jim Brown? Jim Brown's not a very good human, like at least what he's done in the past.
Right.
He was a great football player, maybe the best ever, but the best person, not necessarily. So Kareem Hunt, did you celebrate when he scored those two touchdowns in the playoff game against Pittsburgh? I mean, so to me, it's just a slippery slope. And I am not discrediting any of the women. If it should be, again, innocent until proven guilty. Right. That's kind of what our country's based on. However, in the social media world, it's kind of the reverse. It's kind of you're guilty in the public light, in the public persona, and you need to prove to us, you know, so I don't know. You need to prove to us that you're not guilty. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
So it's like you said, anyone can make an accusation, but, you know, it has to be proven. So now the civil suits, we'll see. Will he be given a suspension? We'll see. So there's a lot of layers to this going forward. But
give me back Josh Gordon with weed and speeding any day, right?
Well, I want Deshaun Watson as my quarterback if he's innocent. And you know what? Again, after he put himself out there, he's 26 too. You got to remember this. Like, you know, all of us have done dumb things in our lives. Now, 22 times, you know, that's a little different.
Well, here's the thing, though. Like the storyline, I got to put a storyline in my head that makes sense, that is believable.
Mm-hmm.
And the dude, bunch of money, bunch yeah. of fame, went and got pleasured at tons and tons of places. And that's the part that, duh, right?
Right.
They know who you are. They know you got money. Chances are they're all going to line up in that industry to say something. I mean,
yeah.
you did that, though.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because they're not going to have camera rolls to say right. you didn't. So
right.
it's going to be you versus them.
And
you are going to probably end up paying some of them.
Exactly.
To make them go away.
Right. And it does become a, you know, and again, this is not, I'm not taking Deshaun's side. I'm not taking the female side. I'm kind of going right in the middle of saying, it's just a slippery slope and it's a he said versus she said. Now, again, 22. Is a lot. I don't think all of those women can be lying. And now we have to toe the line too of sexual misconduct versus, you know, the R word versus, you know, sexual harassment. There's a lot of moving parts there. And my heart goes out to anyone that has ever been in that situation, abused physically, mentally, whatever it might be, because, you know, I don't know what that's like. And, you know, that's something no one should have to go through,
right.
But we don't know all the details. So I'm not convicting him. Am I going to root for him? I'm going to root for the Browns, right. You know, and if he does the Browns will do well.
And that's the thing, though. Like, he is a moral deviant, so he's going to be trouble in that anyway. So
yeah.
I'm going to put him in that same class as those other people, because I right. don't know that they did or didn't do it. They're not going to be my heroes, and I don't
sure.
think they're going to be a role model. But if I'm a Browns fan and
right.
they happen to be in the driver's seat, then so be it.
Right.
Let's read that real quick, because I think this is something from the Tomies.
You got
Andrea
it?
Andrea Tomies, I believe women comment. Is really, really stupid. Andrea Tomey, wife of Cleveland Indians player Jim Tomey, is so offended by the Browns signing of quarterback Deshaun Watson that she issued the following tweet. Very sad after 40 years as a fan, but this is my line in the sand. I believe women.
especially when there are 22 of them. And right there, Andrea Tomei lost all credibility by stating, I believe women, with those idiotic three words, she clearly, et cetera, et cetera, said.
Okay. And I mean, again, that's her right. She, right. The Browns aren't going to be devastated by losing a few fans. The Browns knew they were going to take a black eye, Will Smith slap to the face.
Ooh,
and, you know, try to keep it current events. They knew they were going to take a hit in the PR, but you know what? They are paid to win football games. Right. Andrew Berry does not get a bonus at the end of the year if he has the nicest 53 players on his roster. Jimmy Haslam and the front office and Kevin Stefanski don't get paid more by taking the moral high ground. They get paid to win football games and put butts in the seat and eyes on the TV sets. And again, you might like that, you might not, but that at the end of the day is what this is all about. It's about winning. And to me, if the Browns weren't going to do it, there was at least three other teams lining up waiting 100%. To do it. The Atlanta Falcons, the New Orleans Saints, and the other teams, the Carolina Panthers. They were all right there willing to do the same thing. And don't you tell me if Tampa Bay didn't get Tom Brady back, they wouldn't have been there.
For sure.
And, you know, don't tell me if Green Bay didn't get Aaron Rodgers, they wouldn't have been there. Or, you know, some of these teams without quarterbacks, they would have been there too. So this is not just a Cleveland Browns thing. This is the NFL. And again, let's let the due process play out. And sure. I'm very curious to see if Deshaun will get suspended. If there's going to be a point where he's going to have to probably decide, though, am I going to fight these? Because if I fight them, let's say, okay, so 22, right? There's 52 weeks in a year. Let's say each case takes 1 week to do. I mean, that's half the year. That's half the year. So if he's fighting him, can he be practicing? Can he be, you know, playing in games that week? So I don't know. The Browns. Right.
Let me just roll this out and you tell me what you would do. So let's just say going into this, that the first six games are just not going to be Deshaun games.
Okay.
Who's your starting quarterback? Well, if he's a suspended player and Baker's already, or do you get rid of Baker?
Baker's gone.
All right, so there's no playing. I've closed for Baker.
Yeah, he's gone.
Okay.
He's gone. I think he's going to be a Seattle Seahawk by, I'll say by draft day or on draft night. I'll say that. I'll say Baker Mayfield is the Seattle Seahawks quarterback. I think the best spot for him would be to back up Tom Brady in Tampa. But I think for him, he probably wants to be a starter. I think the best situation for him is probably Seattle. You got a good wide receivers. You have good skill position players, not necessarily a great line, but, you know, that's probably the best position for him. It's the Browns more so, I think, is the money, getting the $18.9 million off their books.
Right.
Because I think that's holding up signing like a guy like Jarvis Landry to get him back, or Jadeveon Clowney, or, you know, possible other free agents that might be out there.
So you would give up even draft picks if you could just take his whole salary and off the books?
I would take a low round draft pick to get rid of him. I don't think I would be giving up a pick to have someone else take him quite yet. Because if that were the case, I would stash him and wait until maybe a quarterback gets injured and then they really need him. But if you straight out release him, you know, who's they are saying wants him? Pittsburgh. And that would be interesting. And we probably don't want to play against him twice in a season. You know, if you really don't like him, maybe you do, but I don't know.
So who do you start then for the first six games?
Well, they did sign Jacoby Brissett, who by all accounts is a top five backup quarterback in the league. I listened to Peter King, who's very, very knowledgeable and in plugged in with the NFL. And he thinks that was the best signing so far of the Browns this offseason.
So why do we get rid of Case if he was probably,
I think financially, he was making a little bit more than Jacoby is going to make. And, you know, it was just like, I think it was maybe a start fresh thing. And you kind of want your backup quarterback to mirror the same skills as your starter. So if your starter goes down, your backup can come in and you can still kind of run the same offense.
Okay.
Kind of like what the Ravens do. If Lamar Jackson goes out, they have, I forget his name right now, but the backup comes in and he pretty much is Huntley is the guy. And he kind of pretty much comes in. He's not quite the athlete, but kind of a similar player. So.
Say so you in the off season, you go and fetch yourself a Ferrari, and on first day of school, you get dropped off in the VW. That's not going to sit right with me.
I think if Jacoby Brissett is playing some quarterback for the Browns, he will get the job done.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to go 6-0 or whatever, but I think he will be good enough to keep you afloat if it's a 4-game suspension or 6-game suspension, or who knows, maybe it's nothing. I don't know. I think it's going to be 4 if I had to guess, but I've heard 6, I've heard 8. But hopefully for the Browns' sake, and if Deshaun Watson is not guilty, you know, especially in the court of law, hopefully it'll be nothing. But, you know, that remains to be seen. And again, let's let this all play out and see what happens.
All right. So 3 questions for you. Yay, you just say yay or nay.
Mm-hmm.
Jarvis Landry.
Yay.
He's coming back, you think?
I hope. Well, I hope. Okay. I think it's more. Yeah, I'm going to say yay.
Okay. Odell?
No.
Clowney?
Yay.
All right.
I think Jarvis and Clowney are back, and Odell, no, for 2 reasons. 1, I think he's too expensive. 2, don't forget, he tore his ACL in the Super Bowl. He won't be back till like November to play at least. So I think the Browns are, you know, if your first or second best receiver are out for the whole year, and then your quarterback might be out for the first few weeks, you're really putting yourself in an early hole too. So so we'll see.
And draft day is going to suck for us.
It's really terrible. Yeah. Our Browns are, you know, our Super Bowl used to be on April, whatever it is. We'll still have some fun with them. You know, we'll do some mock drafts. We'll do some other things. And the Browns still do have a decent number of draft picks,
right,
just not that sexy first rounder that we're so used to. Right. And, you know, I am a little sad because I thought they were going to take Garrett Wilson from Ohio State, the wide receiver, but he's going to be gone in the first 13 picks for sure.
So you potentially have Cooper, Peoples-Jones, and you might have Landry.
Landry. And I think they'll probably draft a guy in the second round.
Yeah.
And there, or maybe you package some of those picks, trade up, get a really quality guy at the end of the first round. So, you know, remains to be seen, but I think the Browns will still bring in a veteran and draft a guy. So I'm going to put my
prediction
on that. Yeah. Right. So we'll see. All right. We'll get back more into the Cleveland Browns soon, because that was plenty of information. I do want to check in real quick with the Cleveland Cavaliers. 2 minutes here, hopefully. But last night, the Cavs finally got a W. They were able to get back to their winning ways, knock off the Orlando Magic. With a slap to the face, 107-101. But the cool thing about last night's game is that was their 42nd win of the season. There's 82 games. You do the math. Worst they can go is 42-40. So that means they have clinched their first winning season in 4 years, which is great. Now, with that came some bad news. Unfortunately for the Cavs, they have just had the injury bug plague them all season. Now, here's what they got left. They have 7 games left. They got the win versus Orlando. They got Dallas, Atlanta, New York, Philadelphia, Orlando again, the Nets, and Milwaukee. So not the easiest schedule to finish out. They are sitting currently in the 7th seed. They can finish anywhere from the 5th seed to the 9th seed. And, you know, for the Cavs, they really need a few more wins to get back, you know, in the hunt. They are currently, as I said, sitting in the 7th seed. They do have the tiebreaker with the Raptors if they were to end up in a tie. But if you're in the 7, 8, 9, and 10 seed, you are in the play-in tournament. Now, what that means is 7 and 8 play each other. The winner of that game is the 7th seed. The loser of that game will play the winner of 9 and 10. The loser of 9 and 10 is out. So it's a little play-in tournament. It's kind of fun. It'll be challenging. We'll see what happens. We still have 7 more games to go, so a lot of moving parts still around. But I mentioned the injuries. Cavs have really been bit by the injury bug. Last night, Evan Mobley sprained his ankle. He's going to be out. Hopefully he's back soon. But Dean Wade out for the season. tore his meniscus. Caris LeVert has only played 12 games for the Cavs since the trade. Lauri Markkanen has missed 20 games this year. Jared Allen is probably the biggest loss right now for the Cavs. He has missed 18 games this year. He has a broken finger right now. Hopefully Evan Mobley, like I said, is back. Rajon Rondo has only played in a handful of games with the Cavs. Colin Sexton played in the first 11 games, has been out the whole rest of the season. Now, I did hear the Cavs were supposed to have some news today, so hopefully one of those guys is coming back, but I don't know. Ricky Rubio, they put in the trade for Caris LeVert, but he was playing so well for the Cavs towards ACL, and then just, you know, unfortunately the Cavs, you know, kind of took a step back after that. Isaac Okoro has missed 14 games this year, and Darius Garland has missed 13 games with back injuries. So, moral of this story, the Cavs have been a fun team to watch this year. They will be in the playoffs in some sort, but we'll see how that goes. But, you know, they are a young and up-and-coming team, but, you know, they have some work to do. So enjoy the rest of the season. Hopefully they can get into the not just the play-in tournament, but the regular NBA playoffs. So with that said, we will be back on Thursday for another show. Hope everyone has a great rest of your Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.